You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Productivity Commission has released a new report today into tertiary education models. It includes 49 new recommendations. Notably, these include reintroducing interest to student loans, abolishing university entrance, and a number of other recommendations aimed at freeing up funds and opening up university to those currently locked out. Earlier today, I spoke with Murray Sherwin, Chair of the Productivity Commission, and began by asking him what brought this report about in the first place.
The origins of this go back to a conference held by the tertiary sector back in 2014 that looked at some of the big influences around education and concluded that there was, to use their term, considerable inertia in terms of responding to some of the big disruptive changes on the horizon. So the government asked us to go away and have a look at those big disruptive influences, which include, you know, technology and internationalisation, changes in student and employer demands, demographic changes and so forth, and say, well, are they real? And is there considerable inertia? And if so, what's the source of that? What would you do to unwind it? So that's the origin of all of this.
Going into some of the specifics, I mean, we've seen some degree of rejection since this has all come out. Already the government has dismissed calls for the reintroduction of interest on student loans. Do you see any government of the day actually implementing these changes?
Well, there's, I think, 49 recommendations. The interest on student loans components was a very small part of that, a couple of recommendations around how to do that. And yes, the government has rejected that, as has the opposition, as they did when we put these out in draft form some months ago. So no surprises there. You know, that's the politics of this. The reason that we continue to put that on the list is that, one, it's very expensive. It's $600 million a year. It's not particularly well targeted. So, you know, you could turn them, for instance, into scholarships, for instance, to target the effect that you really want. But more particularly, it also causes the government to be more intrusive in terms of its regulation to try and control the cost or the escalating cost of student loans. So it becomes more intrusive and the system itself then therefore becomes less able to respond and innovate and do other things. I mean, there's a lot that could be done to reduce the cost of student education, shorter courses, enabling students to get through their programs quicker and so on, which would help reduce the time that students are out of the workforce, whatever suits them, and other ways that are coming available to deliver courses more cost-effectively, all of which would help reduce those costs. So, you know, it's a question of how you use that money effectively.
Right, so with these recommendations, you don't expect all of them to go through, obviously.
We're an advisory body. Government has indicated some interest in some of these recommendations, and that's the record in the past as well. They'll pick stuff up, and some they won't touch because it doesn't suit them for all sorts of reasons. But, you know, our point is to be an independent policy advisor and to put those issues on the table.
Are there some that you're more hopeful about then at this point?
Oh, look, there's quite a lot in this which goes much, much wider than the things that have been talked about generally in the media. There's a lot about the system architecture. So how do the major organisations that oversee the education system operate, how are they clear about their roles and their responsibilities? So that's the Ministry of Education and its policy role. TEC is the purchaser of education services from the institutions. The role of NZQA in quality assurance. And we think there's a lot of scope to tidy those up. The system hangs off a government document, which is the Tertiary Education Strategy, and we just think that the current strategy isn't effective, it's not targeted enough, and there's a lot of scope to make that a much more influential document. So that's, I think, very much on the list. We think there is a lot that could be done to help provide prospective students with better information about what their options and choices are, and I think there'll be quite a lot of interest in that. The incentives and the payments that tertiary providers receive are based on certain things which focus on completions and focus on school leavers doing full-time on-campus courses. There are lots of reasons to try and relax some of those or change some of those settings to better include adults needing to come back into the system for mid-career retraining and so on. So there's a lot in this that I think ministers and their officials will be looking very hard at.
Okay, what about raising fees for courses that will lead into some of the higher paying jobs and industries?
Well,
I mean, aren't you worried that with some of these changes, people are going to be put off from taking certain degrees?
Well, there are international universities that operate in New Zealand offering management programs, for instance, and charging, you know, $40,000, $50,000 for a program that current universities don't seem to offer. So there are those sorts of programs that could be offered at higher fees and would be taken up by, it's a small market, but it would give the universities also the opportunity to sort of step into some of those markets and indeed some of the polytechnics.
They are nicking our shit. They totally are.
The Wire.
You were tuned into The Wire. That was Murray Sherwin, Chair of the Productivity Commission, speaking to me earlier today. The Commission's report has also drawn criticism from a wide array of parties, however, including the New Zealand Union of Students, Student Associations. I'm joined now by its president, Jonathan Gee. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Hi, good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So this report obviously impacts students before anyone else. And I'm wondering, how well do you think that students' interests have been looked after in the recommendations that have been coming out of this report?
I think overall the report unfortunately is a missed opportunity to put students at the centre of the education system. The Productivity Commission, you know, they had quite a lot of good findings around how students should be co-producers in their own learning experience and how that improves their learning outcomes and how and the importance of, empowering student choice. But we haven't really seen that come out through the recommendations, and instead we've seen things such as deregulation of the sector, which doesn't seem to result or might not result in positive outcomes, and the suggestion that interest should be put back on student loans. I think that's an unpopular and effective policy suggestion. So unfortunately, I think the report kind of falls short and is a bit of a missed opportunity for students.
Right. So, I mean, how do you think these issues could be addressed better? I mean, do you think that putting power in the hands of universities in the first place, I mean, is that just never going to work out for student interest? Does there need to be control from the government?
Yeah, I would never say there would never be any sort of quality assurance or safety net for students if we deregulate it. But I guess what I'm saying is that the regulation that we currently have placed is there to protect students. So we have, cross accreditation around certain academic programs and qualifications at the university level. That's there to protect students and to ensure that, they know what they're getting into when they choose to do a certain master's degree or certain bachelor's qualification. Taking that away or suggesting that should be deregulated without any other recommendation around that is a bit of a risk, I think. And, if you dig deeper, actually, that could possibly increase the cost of universities if they're going to have to create some more internal processes around self-accreditation. So I think we need to look a bit deeper and take and scrutinise this recommendation more.
Yeah, I mean, do you agree with the premise of the report? Do you think that a lot of students are being locked out of our tertiary education system as it currently stands?
Yes, no, definitely. I think we need to improve access and we need to improve outcomes of a lot of our priority groups such as Māori and Pacifica. Though I think some of the findings there are correct. It's got the right vibe. But in terms of the recommendations, again, I just don't see the link, unfortunately, and I think it's a little bit muddled in terms of how those findings relate to the recommendations. So that's sort of the concern here.
Right. And yeah, I guess it is easy to get muddled when you have, you know, 49 very different recommendations addressing, you know, very different parts of the education sector. I mean, do you think there needed to be maybe a bit more of a focus, a smaller focus on actual changes that would be made?
Yeah, and I think it just needs to have, I think, a bit more sector involvement, I think, in some of these recommendations and scoping out. And I heard the minister speak on the radio this morning saying that, you know, he's going to take some time to look through this, and I think that's good. And I hope he talks to some key players in the tertiary sector about these recommendations. You know, I think it's concerning when recommendations are raised, such as potentially putting no subsidy on tuition fees for certain courses that result in high private benefit, and you know that is an example, I think, is a gross generalisation of the impact or benefit of certain courses. You know, I take the example of, say, if you see that a law degree it generates quite high private benefit, and therefore you don't want to put a subsidy on tuition fees for law students, then what you're potentially going to see there is that law graduates are going to be incentivized to go into commercial law as opposed to, say, going into a community law centre. So, you know, I think there are quite a few generalizations, and you know, I look forward to talking to the minister and other sort of decision makers around what specific results might come from these recommendations.
Right, so there will be some sort of cooperation between the Union of Student Associations and as far as looking at these recommendations goes.
Yeah, definitely. We're very keen to keep an open mind. So, you know, I think what we wanted to do at this point is put a stake in the ground and be very clear that we don't support certain things, you know, that should be ruled out, such as interest in student loans, or being very aware around placing no subsidy on certain courses. You know, I think we just wanted to create some boundaries and parameters around what we're looking at.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks very much for your time this afternoon, Jonathan. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks. Bye. That was the president of the New Zealand Union of Students Associations, Jonathan Gee.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.